All right, let's take it up a notch on the National Hour. We are live on Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver and Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour, Real Kipper and Bourne, brought to you by Bet365. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne. Sammy McKee, who's right on the ball today with our jersey-changing hour.
What do we got here?
Oh, turn your mic. Turn your mic. Oh, there you go.
Yeah, what do we got here, Kip?
Well, first of all, a big shout-out to Aaron Downey, former Stanley Cup champion,
yes.
Former NHL player, who is well aware that we cry for jerseys on this show.
We're desperate.
We are desperate. And didn't have to be an NHL jersey, I told him.
No. Nope.
So this is what we've got. We have got
Honeywood Hurricanes.
The Honeywood Hurricanes.
Love it.
Which, by the way, is involved in a fundraiser called Craft Hockeyville.
Oh, nice.
So.
Oh, no. Are we tipping the scales here?
Well, I don't know if we're tipping the scales. Like, anybody can send us anything.
I am concerned about the precedent. Like, I wear anything. We put up anything. Like, where does this stop? I'll literally wear anything.
I've got some standards.
This is a very small town with a very big heart.
Beautiful town. Up near Collingwood.
Right?
Yep. Driven through it many times.
This is some of the information that I've got. One of the coldest rinks out there with the best fries.
No, that's not true.
Shout out to Armstrong Beastie.
There's no
right? cold rink.
No better fries in the
half
of the baseball.
Their minor hockey registration is girls.
Okay.
Cool.
Yet the girls have to change in the storage closet.
Not cool.
Okay.
So a big win in Hockeyville.
Okay.
We get them bigger change rooms, washroom updates.
This seems like it's inside. I don't know if we can do this.
This is insider trade.
Right? We're just saying.
We're just saying.
Telling you the facts.
I'm just giving you the facts.
Yeah.
And anyone else in Hockeyville who's entered this contest, feel free next season.
Not telling you what he knows. He's just telling you what he's heard about.
Send
Honeywood.
Us a jersey next season. We're happy to plug you.
Okay. Just got to quibble with him. There's no chance that rink has the best fries in the world.
Where are you going? Owen Sound
is the best fries. Best rink fries by far.
Go ahead.
Best fries in the O, best fries, period.
Not when you're losing in a series.
What do you mean? Oh, come on. You mean the best team in the country versus the youngest team in the country?
Yes. Yes.
The attacker, young, eh?
You have to have a winning hockey club to have.
They battled back. They were down 4-0, battled back to
make
it 4-3.
What's the series at, Sammy?
2-0, London. I don't want to get into it, but I will. Went there, had a blast, really had a good time. So many people came up to me and loved the show, specifically Kipper, because Kipper is affiliated with, with Dale.
Dale's like,
he's like a friend of Dale.
He was not even an older brother to some of us in Washington when I broke into the league. He was like a dad.
Yeah.
So the fact that you know him, they're like, oh, he's tight with Dale. He loved Dale. I'm like, oh, enough about Dale. Oh my God.
Dale.
Anyways, unbelievable building, NHL atmosphere, but they're fans. Crying over every call. Ref, you suck.
Cut it out, Sam.
Oh, you got 8 first-round picks.
You're on the road building. Sorry, they're cheering for their team.
You got 8 first-round picks on your team. You need the stripes to give you against the worst team in the league. Like, give me a bunch of entitled fans. Oh, my God.
It's a warm-up when things go bad for the Leafs.
This is practice
for him.
Unbelievable.
He's on the range right now, metaphorically speaking.
Wouldn't say I loved Cowan's game. We can talk about that maybe tomorrow morning.
All
right. Hour, give us your
Sam Dickinson,
scouting.
Sam Dickinson, Sharks fans, if you're listening.
They're not.
Stud. Yeah. Best player on the ice.
Any St. Louis Blues prospects? Because
they're tearing it up. They have every prospect.
They're tearing it up right now. Andy Strickland, co-host of the Cam and Strick show, will join us in a few minutes to say, what is going on in St. Louis? Could it possibly be another year like it was when they won the cup in 2019.
They're not even with Parayko right now. Parayko was unbelievable and then was hurt, but they should get him back here.
It feels like 2019. It's eerily similar.
You know what? I was like, yeah, but their roster's not. And then you go look at their D, and it's like, God, Parayko and Cam Fowler and Justin Falk's pretty good. Yeah. You go through it, and it's like, God, that's a pretty good team.
Yeah.
Not sure why.
How many teams right now could have used a Cam Fowler?
The Cam Fowler thing seems like a sneaky pickup.
Right?
Ryan Suter. Yeah.
And you were wondering.
Philip Roberg, too, on
you were wondering at the time if this team's in this rebuild. Okay, what do they need Cam for?
Yeah. Well, you know, this is it. It's like they're still trying to remain competitive. He should be good for a couple years yet. Neighbors Thomas Buchnevich, pretty good. Holloway's having a great year with Braden Schenn, Jordan Kyrou. Bolduc is having a... And then they got Jimmy Snuggerud,
not to mention who's coming in. 40 games, 51 points for the University of Minnesota. On fire for them. World junior stud. They have a bunch of guys. It's just... Turns out Doug Armstrong might be pretty good at this.
This guy's kind of doing a decent job.
Okay, and it's just... Relevant. It's like... There's like 3 home runs he's hit this year. 3. Including a coach, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
An offseason signing. Andy Strickland, does he get credited for Andy being a big star now for the St. Louis Blues? Let's welcome him in right now.
There he is.
Hottest team in hockey right now. Hottest broadcaster in hockey right now, Andy Strickland. He had to come on the Real Kipper and Bourne show right now. Right, prime time, 5 p.m. national show. Tell us how great St. Louis is.
Hey.
I'll just shut up now.
What do you want to know? You guys covered it.
Okay. Okay, I want to ask you,
on fire.
Like, how big is Doug Armstrong's head right now?
He should be walking around, strutting around. He should be very, very confident. I mean, I see him doing more interviews right now, too. So he's answered a lot of questions, and he deserves all the accolades he's getting. I mean, just the Broberg and Holloway alone. And I do hear a lot of people out there saying, hey, are we going to see more offer sheets? How can you not do offer sheets? I mean, listen, not every offer sheet's going to work out the way this one has. I mean, I give Darren Ferris a lot of credit too, the agent for Broberg, who roped in Dylan Holloway when he was talking with Doug Armstrong, because he looked around the league and he said, hey, who could use a left shot defenseman? Who's got cap space? He started having conversations with Doug Armstrong, and he said, hey, listen, I think we can get Dylan Holloway, too. It just so happened Holloway's agent was being mentored by Darren Ferris. He doesn't have very many clients. I think only Holloway, to be honest with you. And they brought Holloway in, and they got the old 2-for-1 special. But the Cam Fowler one, I agree with you, especially with Parayko out the last several games. I mean, to bring in a guy that's played 1,000 games, he's under contract next season. You saw what he did in the Winter Classic. Look how experienced the Blues' back end is with Falk, who's approaching 1,000. Ryan Suter, who's played over 1,500 games. Broberg went down early in the year. This guy played big-time minutes for like 12 games when he was out of the lineup. So I don't know where they'd be without him. Nick Letty's played over 1,000 games. So Parayko's played a ton of games. He's about to come back. I think he's been given the thumbs up to return. I don't know if he feels quite confident yet to get back in there, but he's going to be back at some point between now and – you know, the road trip coming up after this 3-game homestand. He's going to come back before the playoffs and get a couple of games in, which is going to be huge for this team.
So let me get this straight. What you're telling us is Doug Armstrong is riding the coattails of Darren Ferris offer sheet. That's what you're telling us.
I will tell you that Darren Ferris, I think he may have approached a number of teams, including St. Louis, about this idea that, hey, I think you could get this done. Doug Armstrong downplays the whole relationship with Kenny Holland because he's got a great relationship with Kenny Holland. But, you know, Doug is smart, too. I think they looked around the league, and you're always scanning rosters to say, hey, who could I go out and pluck from X team? But The fact that we don't see that many offer sheets, I don't know. I know Darren Ferris and Doug Armstrong had a number of conversations, and Ferris was very aggressive in making this happen.
I think it worked out for everybody,
except
Edmonton.
Yeah. Is this not something, though, that you would think more agents would do with their RFAs? So not necessarily other GMs. Go another team and say, hey, my guy's pretty good. Yeah. Can you give him a contract?
Agents do it. I think the agents are the one that drive the bus when it comes to the offer sheets. I mean, not every general manager knows exactly what's going on with that particular team and that player. You know, I mean, in the case of Broberg, I think he was looking to get out of there, to be honest with you. I mean, it's funny. I was talking to him and Holloway recently after Holloway assisted on Broberg's overtime winner against Vancouver. I mean, they would never see the ice in 3-on-3 hockey in Edmonton. Holloway wouldn't be a second-line left winger in Edmonton right now. I doubt he'd be in their top six. He's a top six player right now for St. Louis. He's got unreal chemistry. He's got north of 60 points. Great chemistry with Jordan Kyrou. Brayden Schenn's been unbelievable with those two young guys. So, yeah, it's worked out for those guys for sure. But if I was a player, and Kipper, you and Born, listen, you guys can speak to this. If I had an agent, I'd want him working behind the scenes, trying to get me the most money and put me in the best situation where I'm going to be able to play and have a significant role. I mean, he's done that. These two guys are going to be core players for this organization for several years. And Kevin Law, I was talking to him recently about this topic. Now, he says he doesn't think it hurts Edmonton as much now and maybe into next year, but it's really going to hurt them, you know, when they're 26, 27, 28 down the road. I think it hurts them now, too. They could certainly use a Broberg and a Holloway in that roster, you know, compared to some of the moves that they made in the offseason. But rarely does it always work this way where it's in your favor, because I don't think teams truly know players as well as their own organization. You know, usually you know your own players certainly better than a team on the outside would, but we're talking about two guys that were drafted high in the first round in recent years. So their scouting staff had scouted both these guys heavily. They knew them.
You're watching and listening to Andy Strickland, co-host of Cam and Strick, ringside reporter for FanDuel Sports Network, covering the St. Louis Blues. So, Andy, let me ask you, in terms of, the magic moment, whatever you want to call it, when did the St. Louis Blues, and it wasn't the offer sheet because they got off to a poor start and they were on the outside looking in with those two guys. So where was that moment they went from, let's kind of not blow this thing up, but let's rebuild to Stanley Cup contender? Was it Binnington after Four Nations? Was it not trading their captain, Brayden Schenn? Like, where did you see this switch?
Well, after the Four Nations, for sure. I mean, let's go to Jim Montgomery, because he didn't have a training camp with this team. It's been a whirlwind for him, too, being fired one day by Boston and essentially hired by St. Louis the next. I think the Four Nations break allowed him to truly sit back and evaluate who he has, who he wants to play with who, get his coaching staff all on the same page, and then come back and have a couple hard practices, which turned into kind of a mini training camp. And you combine that with Jordan Binnington going to the Four Nations and coming back with the most confidence that he's had in quite some time. And he could be a real dangerous player when he's playing with an elite level of confidence, just based on how he's wired. You had Dylan Holloway primarily playing on the third line. They moved him up to the second line. That was Steve Ott's recommendation because he saw Holloway and Kyrou spending a lot of time together in the weight room. Both these guys are working on different things. After every single practice, they get together and they work on a number of different skills, edge work, one-timers, shooting off at different angles. I mean, they're both students of the game, and they started to develop really good chemistry away from the games, and I think putting them together has been huge for this team. I think getting Broberg healthy and getting him play like the way that he did in the first five or six games of the season, this guy's averaging more than 2 minutes, I think, per game since Parayko went down with his injury. Mm-hmm. So he's now getting those matchups against the other team's best players, and he's excelled, and he's back to playing at a real high level. So I think when you combine all those things along with the goaltending, I got to talk about Joel Hofer too, because, you know, he's you look at his path to getting to the National Hockey League and winning a gold medal with Team Canada and the World Juniors and whatnot. This guy, as a young professional, took Springfield to the American League final. And he was out playing, you know, Charlie Lindgren, who was his goaltending partner, you know, in Springfield at the time. So he's got a bright future. They think he truly has number one goaltending, potential in the very near future. So, and let me just say this real quick too, getting their top two lines playing well at the same time. There were stints during the season where Robert Thomas's line was playing at a high level, but maybe Schenn's line wasn't. Now you have both lines scoring a ton. Robert Thomas is playing some of the best hockey, if not the best hockey he's ever played. This guy will be a lock, in my opinion, for Team Canada and the Olympics. All you Canadians out there, I'm throwing that out there right now. I said it about Parayko before, people didn't believe me. Robert Thomas should be on that team, and I think there's a good chance that he will be. They've got a fourth line with Radek Foxa, who came over from Dallas, along with Nathan Walker, who's among the league leaders in hits. He brings that physicality. Toropchenko is a big body. This Zachary Bolduc, who was a first-round pick a few years back, played for Patrick Waugh in the Quebec League, a former 50-goal scorer, won a Memorial Cup. He had no goals on the season, zero, when Jim Montgomery took over. Now he's got 16. I think he leads all rookies in goal scoring and plus minus since the Four Nations. So he's been on fire. That's why the Blues have won as many games as they have since the Four Nations.
Yeah, that's a great explanation. It's funny, we had Army on when he was fresh off the surface of the sun, and he was telling us that Robert Thomas was, you know, basically a lock for Team Canada. He didn't say it like with the word lock, but he certainly implied that too. Adding to that mix now, Jimmy Snuggerud coming from Minnesota. I saw a couple quotes from him today. One of them, they asked him like why he chose what number, and he basically said, "Doesn't matter. I'm here for the front of the jersey, not the back." And asked him, you know, why he wanted to play in the NHL, and he was like, "To win. I want to be a part of winning, and they're winning." Mm-hmm. So tell us about this addition and what the expectations for him are.
Yeah, you know, and sorry, my phone just went down. But, you know, I had a chance to sit down with him. It'll be on our pregame show tomorrow. And, you know, interviewed him a couple of times over the course of the last, getting the frame here, over the course of the last few years since he came into the organization. And, you know, he's a guy who just brings probably the best one-timer for a right shot since David Perron. And, you know, kind of reminds me a little bit of Mike Hoffman, who was a left shot, who played here the year after the COVID season. And just in terms of his ability to one-time the puck and score from the outside. I mean, if you watch this guy shoot the puck and watch him in the World Juniors, he brings that to the table. But he's going to play tomorrow night, and he's going to get a nice opportunity to be on the power play too, which, you know, they've got two units, and they've got them separated. You can't really identify who's the number one unit. I guess it depends who's on the ice when the penalty is called, who's tired, who's fresh, and that's how they make the decision. But he's going to be in the bumper, which is a little unusual for him. Normally he's, you know, lined up as a one-timer guy. So he'll eventually get there. But, you know, it's interesting about the number. He wore number 81 in all the development camps. He wore 81 in the World Juniors. He wore 81 for Minnesota. And guess who took 81 when he got here? But Dylan Holloway. That's who took 81.
Oh, so yeah.
That's Dylan Holloway's number now. So they gave him a bunch of options, and he went with 21. But, you know, he's got some real ability. You know, Dalibor Dvorsky, who was a 10th overall pick a year later in 2023, he's up with the big club right now. He played a game last week or 4 or 5 games ago, whatever it was. And we'll see when he gets back in the lineup. And we'll see what the future is for Snuggerud from here moving forward. You know, they got a good thing going. I know they want to get him in the lineup. They're taking Matthew Joseph out, who has played his best hockey since coming to St. Louis as of late. So this is a one-game situation. If he plays well and earns another game, then he's going to play. But I'm not so sure what the plan is in terms of how much action he'll see down the stretch here.
You know, two of our markets, Vancouver and Calgary, are
not enjoying this.
Not very happy right now with the St. Louis Blues here. And just in terms of how high their ceiling is, and where is Minnesota, in your opinion, in all of this now?
Well, Edmonton's not happy. So half of Canada. Okay, they're not happy either. Edmonton, Edmonton, Vancouver, Calgary. Nobody's happy with St. Louis. I hope you're happy, Toronto. Montreal is not happy. They just got pummeled 6-1 here in St. Louis a couple of games ago. So, but I think just based on the trends of how both teams are playing, there's a decent chance St. Louis passes Minnesota and ends up playing Vegas in the first round. I'm not so sure Winnipeg wants to see St. Louis anyway. I know they're a confident team, but, you know, Binnington has kind of had his way with Hellebuck in, you know, when they faced each other going back to 2019 in the first round, then the Four Nations championship game. So maybe he's in Hellebuck's head a little bit right now. Minnesota's going to be a little bit of a different story when they get a couple of their big dogs back with Kaprizov, you know, being down and being hurt. You know, that can really impact a team, especially like Minnesota. They're not super deep offensively. He's such a big part of their team. He truly drives that team in terms of the pace they play with, how much, you know, just his ability to possess the puck and hang on to it, create plays, produce offense. I mean, he had missed like 20 games. He was still like leading their team in scoring, you know, a few weeks ago, you know, and he's missed a good amount of time. So they want to get him back and hopefully catch up. They've got that Z Bulliam kid who plays for Denver University. He's now coming to the Frozen Four here in St. Louis. He could have a similar impact to Brock Faber, you know, the impact that he had when he joined that roster too. So they got some good players coming. But I think St. Louis, just based on the confidence they're playing with, I don't think it'll surprise anybody to see them pass Minnesota and see Minnesota end up playing Winnipeg in the first round.
So the Jim Montgomery effect here, what is it that's really changed? Is it systems? Is it just mentality? Is it player usage? What's changing?
Well, they look quicker. Yeah. From a structure standpoint, they hardly give up anything defensively. They're among the league leaders in shots against since the Four Nations. They lead the NHL in rush chances against over the course of the last several games. You know, I saw a stat last night. Mike Kelly had a stat out and said something about that. So we'll trust his analytics.
Yes, of course.
Okay. Nobody's double checking, but we're all going to believe it. You know, but it looks like you look at the Blues in terms of, you know, the games that they play, they hardly give up anything in terms of odd man rushes. Rarely do they give up a breakaway. They gave up one to McKinnon the other day against Colorado. He hit the post and didn't score. But I think just making some of those moves where, you know, moving Holloway up, separating Kyrou from Thomas, giving them a little more balance, really having each line play with an identity and having a role on the team. I mean, this third line has a role, and now they're scoring too with Bolduc being as hot as he's been. So I just think that their penalty kill has improved drastically. Their power play since the Four Nations has been hovering around the top five. I think they're sixth or seventh in the league right now since the Four Nations. So special teams wise, they've been playing at a real high level, and they're getting great goaltending. I mean, elite level goaltending. Look at Bennington's numbers and Hofer's numbers since the Four Nations. They've been unbelievable. You get great goaltending, obviously you're going to have a chance.
One more for me, Andy, and that's just in terms of the Ovechkin watch against Gretzky, a one-time St. Louis Blue. Maybe 8 or 9 goals of that number belongs as a Blue, but the attention that it's getting down there, or you know, the talk of it, they've seen their share of great goal scoring out of Brett Hull. But what's the vibe down there over it?
I think people are excited. I think they'll be locked in. You know, especially now that he's gotten as close as he is, people want to see history. I think whenever a great talent, a generational talent, has a chance to make history, I think you get locked in. You know, St. Louis sports fans went through that several years ago with Mark McGwire chasing Roger Maris for the home run chase, and we saw how that captivated the country and how everyone got so into it, you know, even though a few years later, I mean, everyone's talking about the steroids and all that, but still at the time, that's a moment that you'll never forget. So I hope they're enjoying that in a similar fashion in Washington, and I'm pretty sure that they are. But if you're a hockey fan, how can you not enjoy it? I think this is absolutely incredible to see what he's doing and what he continues to do at an advanced age, how he's doing it, the level that he's still, you know, able to play at is incredible. I know he's 40 years of age, and I know he's not in his prime, but what is he in? If it's not his prime, he's scoring 40 goals. Who's not in your prime when you score 40? I understand that his prime was 50 and 60, but it's not like he's totally dropped off. This guy's scoring 40 goals in the NHL at close to 40 years of age. So when would the drop-off be? I mean, if he comes back and plays next year, say he doesn't break the record and comes back, or does break the record and decides to come back, what's he going to score next year? I mean, what's the ceiling for this guy? This guy can play as long as he wants. And as long as he can shoot the puck and get open and they get him the puck, he's going to continue to score. So, but the fans are getting into it. And real quick, before I get out of here, guys, because you're in Toronto and we all know everything goes through Toronto. So whatever you say, you know, obviously creates all the headlines. But I'm curious if you think that Jim Montgomery belongs to be in the Jack Adams conversation. Mm-hmm. If, in fact, they get into the playoffs, should he be in the Jack Adams conversation if they get in the playoffs?
I don't think he can take it away from Carberry, but yes, in the conversation, yes. Yeah.
Top three.
Yeah.
I would agree with that. Carberry 100% deserves it, and he's earned it. Doug Armstrong, obviously, belongs, you know, in the conversation for executive of the year. Who's had a better year than him? There's been some other GMs that have had great
Darren Ferris, apparently.
That was all Army. Darren Ferris coming together. I'm not taking it away from Army. Are you kidding me?
No, we can't do that.
No, it is funny though. Like 2 weeks ago, it was like, if St. Louis gets in, then maybe Montgomery could be in that conversation. And now it's like, yeah, okay, they're in, and they could finish in, you know, not just in the last wild card spot. So yeah, that would definitely change the conversation for Montgomery.
Andy, great stuff as always, man. Thanks for making time for us. Always welcomed on this show. Great stuff.
Appreciate it as always. You guys are the best.
Appreciate you, man. Thanks so much.
Andy Strickland, co-host of Cam and Strick, does a great job. Great job covering the St. Louis Blues for FanDuel Sports Network.
Yes, sir.
I got to tell you, I love the St. Louis Blues roster. I love just what they represent, but I hate that it came at a cost of our Canucks and the Flames.
Yeah, it's not ideal.
It's not how I wanted it to go.
Bill Guerin, don't listen. It would have been nice if Minnesota
truly, you got to keep up the relationship with Bill Guerin, but
I truly wonder how close.
Not my guy.
Doug Armstrong was to moving a couple of his key pieces, including
Braden Shen.
And the Leafs apparently were all over him until they said no.
Hmm.
But hindsight's 20/20, but who would have known that they were going to be able to turn this thing around?
And now, Winnipeg's been the best team. They probably win the President's Trophy. You hope that St. Louis gets up into the top wild card spot and you get Minnesota. You deserve that. But you don't deserve a red hot St. Louis who's, with a goalie who's in your goalie's kitchen. So anyway.
And Shen's been pretty good over the last little bit here. I think he's got maybe 4 points in his last five games. Plays, around 19, 17, 17, 18. He plays.
Yes, he's a big part of what they're doing, no doubt.
Wouldn't have hurt.
No, he would have helped, actually.
Wouldn't have hurt. Game time?
Game time.
All right. It's game time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's ever ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. I know you guys watched the NCAA basketball tournament over the weekend, but we have a chalky, chalky final. All four one seeds make it to the final four. Florida, Auburn, Houston, and Duke. And if you go to the favorite, I think is, as I quickly pull this up here, the favorite to win it all now is Duke at plus 100, my Florida Gators plus 280, Houston plus 450, and Auburn plus 500. You talk about how you want Cinderellas, but you get to this point and it's all the one seeds and you're in for a pretty good rest of the tournament.
Yeah, it should be pretty
fun. So it's going to be pretty exciting for that. So we've been updating you throughout the tournament on that stuff. Tonight, a little bit of a lighter night on the ice. I wouldn't say a ton of huge playoff implications in a lot of the games tonight. Colorado hosting the Flames. The Flames are still fighting for their lives. I guess it's big for them, but the Blues have really, really put a hurt on their chances. They're big underdogs. Dogs. Hey now.
What a turn of phrase
going blue. They're underdogs in Colorado tonight, as you would imagine. Colorado's minus 280 on the money line. Calgary plus 230.
If you're Calgary, you're looking at your schedule and you're going, We need a couple of tough games here to go right. We need to beat Colorado.
Yeah,
because then you get some. They have Anaheim twice and San Jose twice in their final 10.
And I'm sure we'll talk about it after the break when we get into our news and notes. But I've just been so impressed with Nazem Kadri over this past stretch. He's been brilliant for them. Him and Huberdeau both been excellent.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Devils, they're hosting the Minnesota Wild tonight. Big favorites on home ice, minus 155. Don't mind a little look at the Minnesota Wild on that plus 130 on the other side of that. The other two games, Flyers and Preds, bit of a bowl there. And the Seattle Kraken are taking on the Dallas Stars later on. And that was Game Time presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. It's 19 plus. Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Okay, we'll take a quick break. When we return, a little bit more of Ovi coming within 5 goals of Gretzky's record.
5.
Plus, I want to talk to you guys a little bit about the
politics?
Access. The access behind the scenes, particularly with general managers.
Yeah, I want to have this conversation
because,
too.
Because, the stuff that's being put out right now, I don't know. I mean, I don't get it, but you can explain it to me after the break.
We'll talk.
Because I don't like what I'm saying.
Also, Sid's still so awesome.
Sammy.
Well, I don't we're doing all this Ovi talk.
And our
great Canadian heroes punching guys in the face, scoring OT winners. They'll just, want to remember how great he is, too.
Still more on the bone on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show.
Get smarter when you listen to Hockey Talk, the Hockey PDOcast with Dmitry Filipovich. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne. I forgot your last name.
You know what's funny? And is every time we do our show at the A, he doesn't know my name. When he introduces everyone, it's
what's
always,
he said?
It's always it's Elliot, it's Nick.
Jason.
Yeah, it's Justin. This other guy over here. When I do the panel with Cause and...
It's been 4 years now, and people still refer to you sometimes as Jason.
I get Jason a lot.
And I look at you, and you have that, I'll never get rid of it.
Yeah, I just let it go. I respond to it now. It's like my alter
Jason ego. Jason or Justin, whatever your name is.
to be fair, though, Jason Bourne is like
international superstar name.
Yes. So the first time the Bourne movies came out, I was sitting in a theater, and it was a preview for another movie. And the first thing you see in the preview is black screen, white print, full size, just Bourne. And I was like, oh my God.
Spelled the same.
It's an intervention. I thought I was on like the Truman Show or something. Like, what is happening?
It would have
right
been
now?
Like,
Gabo is coming.
If this is really popular, this isn't good for me.
Yeah, I wasn't sure how to feel about it. But yeah, people know how to spell my name now. It's nice.
Just quickly before we move on to some news and notes, I got to tell you, I offended the city of London.
Oh, are they upset?
Let me just read one. I got
real hockey fan,
about
folks.
10 texts, but I'll just read the best one. Here we go. Do your tears salt the French cries after Own Sound gets demolished?
Oh, French cries.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Well, listen, I was talking about how good the fries
were. Clever.
So pretty good text.
Really good text.
I mean, the rest are just way ruder, and I can't read them. So
I think at some point, it's a little tight right now on scheduling, but next season, the three of us are going to go out to a London Knights game, and you're going to wear their jersey.
Not for $1 million.
See, I call bull crap.
It would be fun to have the slider on what the number would be. It's pretty low to get him to.
Can I tell you that
he would go for 10 grand.
I would sit
10 for sure.
I would sit on the glass at a Montreal Canadiens game wearing a Habs jersey, banging on the glass before I would wear a London Knights jersey. No question.
Really?
No question.
What?
The London Knights are an integral part of my hatred in my life. Like I've never liked Mitch Marner, who's got 90 points every year for the Leafs because he scored an overtime winner against the Attack once and did this big celebration to the crowd. I wanted to throw a battery at him. Like,
what? No way.
It is the deepest-seated hate.
And if you remember Bill Simmons, sports hate is not hate. Sports hate is real, it's important, but it's different.
No, it's the deepest-seated hatred for any team I have in my life is the London Knights. There you go.
Anyways, Sammy, you need help.
Yes.
You do. You need somebody to come and talk to.
You're the guy I talk to.
Oh, that's depressing.
I don't want that.
That guy's your emotional outlet?
No. My poor wife, Allie.
Oh, there you go, Allie.
All right. Ovi, anything else you want to add on Ovi?
No, I want to talk about GMs that put out videos of their teams.
Just a reminder, though, this hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. That part of the business is taken care of.
Yes, sir.
So now, as we know, in this world, nobody does anything without clipping it and putting it out there on social media.
Everything's content.
But there seems to be a bigger push these days for general managers, I think, because there's one in particular out there with Kevin Adams, which I don't really understand why there's a sense of putting stuff out there in pressure-packed situations for them. And Don Sweeney also, the Boston Bruins, put one out there during the trade for Brad Marchand.
Yeah.
And when I think of all the entertaining and funny things out there on Instagram, these two things that I saw weren't even close.
It's dark, right? It's like, well, so
okay. First, so explain.
First off, the Sweeney one in the clip.
Oh my God!
He comes into the room, and goes like, "It's no big deal." He's like, "Kate, we traded Marchie," and one of the guys at the table just goes, "Jesus!"
Whoa! Gonna like that one.
What have we done? You know, he's like, "It's a conditional second." You can just feel the air sucked out of the room, and it's like, why would Boston put that out? Like, who is that? Anyway, and then the other one is Kevin Adams from Buffalo when they're talking about trading Cousins, and they're just like, yeah, the doctor said he looked at his reports, he's not worried about his injury history, and everyone's like, okay, like no one speaks up.
This is Norris coming back, right?
This is Norris, coming back for Cousins. And it's like, that's great that the doctor said he's not worried about his injury history, but he has a new injury every 3 weeks. And not one person was like, are we sure that this is good? And maybe it happened in real life, but the way the video is edited, you never have a sense that anyone's like, I don't know about Norris. Like, we don't get to see that side of it because they want to big up the guy who's coming in. But it doesn't make me feel very confident that no one in management is like, guys, hold on. Are we sure we want to trade Cousins?
Well, I mean, this the famous one is the one that came out from Hard Knocks last year from the NFL when the Giants let Saquon Barkley go to the Eagles. And I forget the owner's name. It's going to bother me. Mara? Maybe the Mara family? I think it's Mara's for the Giants. He's talking to Joe. I'm really testing my NFL knowledge. Joe Sheehan, I think, is the general manager of the Knights.
John Mara, yeah.
Of the general manager of the Giants. And he's like, you know, if he goes to the Giants, I mean, goes to the Eagles, I'm going to be really upset. He's just really against it. And then he goes to the Eagles.
And wins the Super Bowl.
Has 2,000 yards. Had a chance to set the all-time record.
Jumped a guy backwards.
And he was maybe the most impactful free agent signing in the history of the NFL. And now you have this clip out there of them being like, you shouldn't do that. And in a clip world that just lives in it, I don't understand these behind the scene things at all. I'm totally with you guys.
To be clear, I love them though. I get me. Is that the point?
No,
I do get it, but like in a sick way.
They're uncomfortable.
Yes, totally.
Hey, well, also,
is that part of the entertainment? Is that you feel as uncomfortable as they probably feel having it out there the rest of their lives?
I get, you know, everything's reality TV, right? Like that's what.
It doesn't have to be.
No, but it sells.
There has to be.
People watch it.
We need a little mystique.
I don't think people think
we do. Because all we're
going to
do is draw the curtains and see some short guy pulling strings like in Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what this is. It's like, I heard Adams, it's like a 6-minute video clip. And it's not new. It's been out for weeks.
Yeah.
But it just felt like at no point was anyone like disagree. Everyone was like, yep, I think we should do Cousins for Norris. I think we should.
I think that. I'm not even sure. I think there's so many things going on in their lives. I'm not even sure they know that there's some
piece
kid
of content out there.
Some intern or a guy a year out of university putting this stuff out there. No. I don't.
That can be true, or they're not from the era, so they don't.
They don't know. They just don't know. Whoever's monitoring or watching it doesn't even have the experience to say, this might not age well.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I'm a general manager right now and I see that stuff out there, like,
what are you doing?
I'm taking a sharp pencil and stabbing somebody in the heart.
Oh my
okay?
Lord.
No, I'm telling you. Like,
what's with the stabbings recently?
We've had a murderous show the last couple weeks.
I just don't like. You think back to the one last year, the Amazon one, where the McDavid thing, where he's sobbing. I'm like, I didn't need to see that. Like, yeah. You know, there's a lot of people like the perverts and the freaks and the sickos out there that want to see that stuff. And I don't see the need to see the greatest generation.
Well,
I didn't need to see that.
But how about this? One that has people quite upset is Nylander in that Amazon show.
Yes.
You know, he missed playoff games with migraines and they got a camera crew in there and he's eating Krispy Kreme. It's not a good look.
No.
You know, everyone you talk to who's had like real bad migraines are like, oh, shades drawn. I couldn't get out of bed, whatever. So we, and Leafs fan watching, they're going, wait.
We had a discussion last night where we're not even sure if the Leafs knew that the crew was in with Nylander.
Yeah, the team may not have known that they had that level of access. Or
like, how does that happen?
I don't
this
know.
Is the
did.
Playoffs. Playoffs.
I know.
Do you remember the Dubas one with Kekalainen? About the Foligno thing where he like went back behind the scenes and he like had a conversation with him and then he upped the price and you get seen being kind of fleeced. Like, I just don't know who it's for.
Hold on. We're talking about it because it's entertaining and that's what this sport is, an entertainment product.
Maybe it's not for me, but like I could not get through the Amazon series about the Leafs. I watched the first one because we wanted to talk about it. It's not for me.
And it may be entertaining in the moment. But if the long-term effect is, you know, you guys aren't as bright as I thought you were.
Right.
Like, you guys are kind of dumb. And
like, you based it off vibes,
You're supposed to be, like, one of the top managers or coaches or owners or whatever.
Yeah.
There's only 30 teams in the world. Mm-hmm. You should have to be really good at your jobs.
Yeah.
And now the behind-the-scenes kind of looking at me going, you guys are about as dumb as I am.
Well, a couple thoughts on
that's
that.
Such one, a great one, point. One, takes away though, the mystique.
It one, takes away the thought that you're like really supposed to be good at this.
But one
to hit this
is
level,
that, like a player, you almost have to be shown. You have to perform, or you're on the hook for it. Which I don't know that that's so terrible that people are held accountable for their performance.
Yeah.
I think that's a pretty good thing. You know, the other thing is that the person who's putting out the content, the social media manager, whoever it is who's doing that work, may not have enough understanding of hockey to understand what they're putting out. And that's a crucial component. They need to know.
There's so many people, so many departments, so many who can keep track in some of these organizations.
Because, like, having one doctor approve the Norris injury history and he's injured 9 seconds after he's there, and I know it's a freak thing, but he has a lot of freak things.
But it may have not even been the true process.
You're right. There could have been 10 doctors.
There could have been 10. They could have cut the last one. It maybe looks like it's only one, and it's like,
right,
just get it out, put it out.
We don't see him talking to the analytics department about this, that, and the other.
That presentation, that 30 seconds, mm-hmm, might not even be close to like the truth of what really happened.
Yeah.
But we don't know that as a viewer.
The other part is, when they decide to trade Cousins, they're talking about, okay, we're trying to change the culture. You know, we're trying to, this is with Norris, culture guy, we're trying to change the culture. And it's like, what is that saying about Cousins? Like, are we now saying that, so Cousins a bad culture guy?
Yeah.
That's the point you're making about a player?
Yeah.
You know, so it does kind of like peel back a curtain in a way that you're
the
like.
The other one was the, I don't know, HBO, Amazon, I don't know who did it, but the Leaf one. Mm-hmm. Where Kyle Dubas is in the office and they're kind of scared to look at the progress of Freddie Anderson.
Is he on the ice?
And it's like, you know, is he on the ice? I don't know.
He's on the ice?
Is he wearing his equipment? Is he not wearing his equipment? And I'm like, what is happening here? What is going on?
Yeah.
You guys are the managers. You're the coaches. Like, how do you not know?
Yeah.
No, it's, I don't know.
So, well, we've been entertained. Maybe that's the point of it all.
Okay.
But I actually think, not to give the Leafs too much credit here, but I actually think their little, the Leaf they do, they put out like a little Instagram video, which is state-controlled media, like propaganda 100%, but it's a minute. It's like a quick quote from Berube. They do two quick quotes from a player that was involved in the game, a highlight, and then it's like the guys going, yeah, boys. It's like, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good access. But long, drawn-out things of guys that aren't supposed to be, like, in the eye.
I feel like
I talk
to myself, I'm on the other side of it now. Like, because I do. I now hear
you
myself say that I do like having this information.
I don't know if you can go back.
We do not agree.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
I kind of got my start writing the very first 24/7s that they did.
Mm-hmm.
I would pause my TV.
Those were so good, though.
Well, and they didn't have the board covered up. So I would pause the TV, take a picture of like what Babs had written because it was Detroit, Toronto.
Yep.
And I wrote a couple articles of like, here's what these abbreviation means. Here's what they're trying to do. Mm-hmm. And those did very well. Mm. And then now they're a lot more careful about showing the whiteboards.
Good one, Randy.
But I don't know if it's, they're not getting the attention that they first got.
Yeah, it's saturated.
There's so many of them now. And there's like, people
saturated.
Are just taking passes on it.
Yep.
Right?
I bet there's a lot of people listening to this being like, you guys are idiots. I love that access.
Hmm.
Yes, I do believe that there's still a market there for sure.
Yeah.
Did you guys, I wanted to mention this, Mikkola, Habs.
$5,000 fine for unsportsmanlike conduct.
Well worth it. Well, you saw the play, huh?
Yeah, I saw it.
So if you didn't see it at home, over, they lose 4-2. He takes a full ice-length slap shot, which, like, even if you score, then it's 4-3, so you're just being a jerk, and he almost hits one of the D on the other team.
He went full Daniel Everton. He just didn't hit anybody this time.
Full length. Oh, we got the video. God, look at this. Mikkola, he's behind his net, 4 seconds, game's over. Let's have some fun here.
I mean, listen, still time on the clock.
Savard.
I got to tell you, I think that's an absurd.
You guys want your captain to get out there and say something? Or I guess you got to stay on the bench.
Gallagher's great in this.
Gallagher's great there.
How do you find a guy $5,000 for that?
How do you not find him?
There's time left in the hockey game. He slap shotted the hockey puck with time left in the hockey game.
I think using common sense.
It went 180 feet. It's not like it was like 10 feet in front of him.
I think that, like, if I'm him, I'm rich, so whatever, $5,000, but, like,
it's unsportsmanlike conduct, and I think his conduct was pretty unsportsmanlike.
I guess, but, like, he shot the hockey puck in the hockey game with time left in the clock.
You're allowed to shoot the hockey puck.
Honestly, everything
he's not even looking.
Yeah,
I love
it. The NHL, they're better off fining him $5,000 than not taking the criticism that they didn't do anything at all. So I think they're covered. I think the NHL's covered. I think quietly they're happy that they're playing Tuesday. Yeah. When are they playing?
Oh, yeah, they play.
They play again.
Yeah, they do. They play tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Leafs get them on the second half of back-to-back.
That 2 seconds of shooting a puck 180 feet will make all of us watch the start of that game.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's actually that's a pivotal hockey game for the East standings.
Awesome. So, and Montreal totally reacted the way they should have. Florida gets to say that we're sore losers. It's all good.
Yeah. Now, we can talk about losers.
Yeah.
The East.
Yeah.
Who can lose the most hockey games? The Islanders, the Red Wings, Columbus, the Rangers. Montreal got a big win yesterday. But boy, pretty bleak race.
Real poo-poo platter down there.
It is lean. Islanders have been given every opportunity. I don't think it's happening.
Colorado Avalanche sign a Makar.
They did.
A Taylor Makar, younger brother of Colorado star
Congratulations,
Kale,
Brett Gretzky.
To a one-year deal.
That's mean.
He was
famous guy's brother.
He was a seventh-round pick in 2021. But
it's
kind of tough, eh?
Pretty good year at University of Maine.
Never be as close to your brother.
Yeah, but he doesn't need to be. If he can be an NHL player.
For sure. You got to give him the opportunity here.
Mm-hmm.
I saw Brent Gretzky play hockey for the Asheville Smoke in the UHL when I was a kid.
I played against
Brent. You made those words up.
No, I didn't. Asheville Smoke. Look it up.
Oh, yeah?
I think he scored over 100 points with Windsor Spitfighters 1 year. He was the best centerman.
Oh.
Pretty good pedigree there. Shaq, I know your game. I apologize for not being more familiar with your game.
How do you... maybe it's a sensitive conversation, but how do you think Taylor McCarr... I guess he's happy to get an NHL contract.
Yeah.
But, you're going to the team where your brother is, the best player in the world?
Well, I think it depends. If you're a super close family, probably means the world to him. And maybe they'll give him a little extra. I had opportunities out of college, and I chose Islander camp in hopes that I could leverage my name for an extra day at camp before they cut me.
Fair enough.
So if he thinks it can help him, great.
Ugh. So Blue Jays cut into our week a little bit, right?
So, yeah, maybe we should let people know about our weird week, but we have a show today.
Yeah.
Show tomorrow.
Show tomorrow is.
Oh yeah, so Kipper
and the kid.
What are you telling?
Yeah, I'm bailing on you guys. I've hit my wall.
Perfect time to.
I've hit my wall. I'm going south. I'm gonna go hit a golf ball.
Yeah,
I will say that.
Cool. And this is the perfect week to do it.
Yeah. Oh, I mean the biggest game of the year.
Yeah. That's fine.
That's fine.
You'll be fine.
They play him again a week later.
Yeah, when I'm gone. So, but I will say, Kipper, your attendance this year has been exemplary. Exemplary?
Yeah, that works for me.
Exemplary.
I don't care if you screwed up the word.
No,
I get what you're saying.
You've been here a ton. I think all of us, we've had pretty good attendance. So you've earned it.
It took a week for Disney, but
you've earned it. So
appreciate that.
You've got big plans.
Nice to get his permission, eh?
Just warm.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll start the plane heading south and see where. I'll send you a postcard.
Have you been on the? Have you been at the digital range?
I have.
Yeah.
How's
the swing feeling?
Swinging it.
Yeah. Just to make sure that I don't pull a muscle.
So yeah. So just to fill everybody in, we are here here tomorrow.
Yes.
Off Wednesday.
Off Wednesday.
Back Thursday. Off Friday. So three shows this week. Two
unless
which is
they get rained out in New York on Friday, in which case you might have another show.
Yeah. And it's gonna be me and Borny.
Yay.
Our thanks to Andy Strickland, a co-host of Cam and Strick. All right, guys. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Oh, yeah, I know you will.
I may not come back. I'm not sure. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. If you get a chance, give us a rating and review. We'd love to hear from you. Have a great night, everybody.